You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, indeed. Monday, I am back, and Sacramento Kings basketball begins tonight. Hell yeah. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is heaven. We've made it. We've reached it. I know it's preseason. I don't care. Kings basketball hasn't been here since April, and we get to see the boys in purple take to the hardwood tonight in Phoenix against the Suns. Can you tell I'm excited? If you're not as excited as I am, what is wrong with you? Wake up, get some caffeine, and get ready for this one. I'm pumped up to see some Kings basketball tonight. My name is Matt George. I am happy to be back here on the Locked On Kings podcast after a week-long honeymoon. I am a married man. Yes, indeed. So last week was a big week for me, but I'm glad to be back. I missed you guys. I missed talking Kings basketball. It's very difficult to go away and to keep tabs on what's going on, but not be able to speak with you guys and to share with you and to be involved with all of you. Here on the Locked On Kings podcast and on the Locked On Podcast Network. So much has happened in the last week. I mean, with Media Day going on and then trade rumors involving Jimmy Butler and how the Kings could be involved. The Kings players and coaches are speaking at training camp and saying all the right things. Oh, it's just so much that we have to talk about and so much that we have to touch on here. And of course, I'm happy to announce because Kings basketball is back. We are back to daily podcasts. Yes, indeed. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. All Kings podcasts starting now as the Sacramento Kings season has officially begun. Again, for those of you who are new or wondering who the hell is this guy screaming at me, I like the guy that filled in last week. That was Jason Ross. He's the former host of this podcast, the current color commentator for Sacramento Kings Radio, also my co-worker at Sports 1140 KHDK. I am from KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and a reporter and someone who's going to be keeping close tabs on Kings basketball tonight. And I'm still trying to soak in all this information and learn and reconnect as I'm back here in Sacramento from beautiful Hawaii and getting ready to get Kings basketball started, man. We got just so much to get to, so I'm not going to waste any time at all. Media Day was fantastic. If you haven't checked out or listened to the episode last week of Jason Ross, he brought some Media Day interviews to the Locked On Kings podcast. And you need to listen to these because he was there with his co-host Damian Barling. They host the Lowdown from noon to three weekdays on Sports 1140 KHDK. And they were there broadcasting live, doing a live show from Media Day. Had a lot of players come over, talk to them, and Jason was nice enough to share some of that audio with you right here on Locked On Kings. So either pause this podcast, go listen to it, and come back. You have to promise to come back. Or listen to this podcast all the way through and then go back and listen to that if you haven't already. Media Day was fantastic, fun as always. I saw that there's a magician out there doing some magic for the guys. If you haven't checked out that video, you absolutely should as well. Fun little video of I'm a sucker for magic. I think that stuff is cool. Clearly some of the Kings players liked it as well. So that's a fun little make you happy, make you smile. But then training camp got going. And what were we looking for in training camp? We were looking at position battles and we were looking at, okay, is this team really going to put their money where their mouth is? Are they going to run? Are they going to push the tempo? Media access. Now, I haven't been to any training camps because I've been out of town, but I have been talking with many of my colleagues and co-workers who have been there, and media access is interesting. So we're only really allowed in the final 10-15 minutes of practice, so we're not able to see everything of what's going on, but typically that final 10-15 minutes is either scrimmaging or showcasing what they've been working on. They're aware that the media is coming in, so they want to show the right things without giving away too much. And then there's player interviews afterwards. I don't have enough time to play these player interviews for you. I'm just going to really pick a couple and share some of the quotes from these. But one thing I will share that I was told is one of the first days of training camp, when the media came in, the Kings were running a 5-on-5 scrimmage. And I thought this was interesting. This is actually tweeted out by Jason Anderson. He is the new Sacramento Kings beat writer for the Sacramento Bee. And he has been doing a phenomenal job this week. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you need to. At J Anderson Sac B. Again, that's at J Anderson Sac B, the new Kings beat writer for the Sacramento Bee, and he tweeted this out, and we got to get him on the show to chat about this because he was on top of it. He said that the Kings were running a 5-on-5 scrimmage when reporters were allowed in for the last 10 minutes of practice, and he saw some interesting pairings, some units, some groups that he didn't expect to see play together and was interested to see the play together. One of the units paired was Marvin Bagley with Willie Cauley-Stein, which we expect to see in the starting lineup, or at least I expect to see that in the starting lineup, whether it's on opening night or maybe even tonight. And then the other pair, and this was interesting. You would think it would be maybe, you knew Harry Giles was going to be there. Was he going to be paired with Costa Kufos? Was he going to be paired with Zach Randolph? Neither, actually. The other pair was Scal Labissiere and Harry Giles, and I like that. I like that idea. I still think Scal has a lot to offer. He's had a great camp from what I've been told and what I understand. He came in 20 pounds heavier or something like that. He's added 20 pounds of muscle this summer. Also has the beard, so he looks like a badass. I'm always a supporter of Scal Labissiere. I've been a fan of his. I struggle to see where his minutes come, if he's going to take those away from Costa Kufos, if he's going to take those away from Zach Randolph, but I like the pairing of these two guys together. I would assume Harry Giles would be playing more of the center position with Scal out there. Both guys can stretch the floor. Scal more of a shooter than Harry Giles is, but both tenacious rebounders, guys that are going to run the floor, are active, hustle together. So I'd be interested to see if tonight in Phoenix we see the pair of them playing together a lot in a bench unit, and if Scal Labissiere is playing a lot of four, maybe get some time at the three. We don't know where Nemanja Bjelica is going to fit into things. A lot of questions are going to be answered tonight. It's going to be a fun sneak preview. This is the most amped up I've ever been about a preseason game in my life, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But Jason Anderson tweeted that out, and I thought that was interesting. I wanted to share some quotes with you. Two in particular. One was from Coach Dave Yeager, and one was from Yogi Ferrell, who I expect to be the backup point guard for the Kings pretty consistently going forward. I don't know specifically how his battle with Frank Mason has been going, but in terms of minute distribution, don't be surprised at all if Yogi Ferrell's the one getting the majority of the minutes early on. But he said this. He said, quote, "I know Coach wants to get up and down faster. He wants to shoot a lot more shots, shoot the first available shot if it's a good shot, and shoot a lot more threes, push the pace. So I'm just trying to add that to the team." Hallelujah! The clouds have parted, the sunshine shines through, the Kings are all saying the right thing. This is exactly what you want to hear from your backup point guard who's known for playing fast, for one of the, not just the players on this roster and a point guard on this roster, but one of the newer players on this roster, someone who's coming in and is recognizing, okay, this is what I'm being told, this is what I'm being taught right now, I'm new to this team, and this is what we're pushing and this is what we're emphasizing. The fact that Yogi Ferrell is saying this is just music to my ears, and I know it got a lot of great reaction as people saw this quote and listened to this quote on Twitter and on social media. I love this. I love every bit of this. This is exactly what we wanted to hear. Now they have to prove it, and we will see that opportunity tonight. Doubling down on that, head coach Dave Yeager said, he said, quote, "We want to be a running team. We want to get up and down the floor. We want to play with a lot of energy." So he's saying the right things. He also talked about Marvin Bagley needing to be an energy guy who rebounds, so expect a lot more activity or an expectation, a higher expectation from Coach Yeager for Marvin Bagley to be active on the boards and on the glass. We saw flashes of that, but maybe not as consistent as we wanted in Summer League. He also made it clear that Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley are different positions, so they're not going to be taking minutes away from each other, which means that we're probably going to be seeing a lot of the two of them together on the floor, hopefully. He also dialed back some expectations for Harry Giles a little bit. Just reminded everybody that he's still entering his rookie season, even though he spent all last year. He wasn't negative by any means, but he said Harry's progressing nicely. He's right along with the player of where we want him to be. But don't expect him to take the floor on opening night or tonight and be the next Chris Webber or the star that's going to take over this league. I mean, he has that potential to do so, but don't necessarily expect that from him. So those are some good things that head coach Dave Yeager said that I wanted to share with you guys if you hadn't seen it already, because I saw that and I read that when I was in Hawaii, and I just had a smile across my face reading all of that. Such great stuff to hear. I love it. I love it. I love it. Unfortunately, though, we have one small bit of negativity, and that's the situation going on with Bogdan Bogdanović. Now, we know that he's a basketball machine, and he's been playing basketball for a long time. He had a surgery towards the end of last season in late April, early May, if I'm not mistaken. and he had a surgery on his knee that was successful. It was only a minor surgery. Then he played in a couple of games for his national team this year, and the Serbian national team, and experienced some tightness and some discomfort. Ended up having another surgery, and now he is going to be missing the first couple of weeks of the season, which means no Bogdan Bogdanović on opening night and no Bogdan Bogdanović through until November. Disappointing, because I was looking forward to the Sacramento Kings getting off to a good start, because remember, when we broke down the Kings' schedule here on the Locked On Kings podcast, I talked about how many on-the-road matchups the Kings have against Eastern Conference opponents at the beginning of the season. Opening night, we know, is going to be an uphill battle against a very good Utah Jazz team. I still think the Kings can win that because of the energy, the atmosphere, and the fun of everything. But we know that's an uphill battle. But a lot of those games on the road against Eastern Conference opponents, I think, are very winnable. And if the Kings want to be as good of a team as I expect them, or they can be, and I want them to be, they are going to have to be winning those games and competitive on the road, especially against Eastern Conference opponents. Whether it's at home or against the road, I'm expecting a really good year for the Kings against the East. It just hurts that now your starting three most likely will not be there. So what does that mean? Is it going to be Justin Jackson at the three, or is it going to be Nemanja Bjelica? It seems like we're back at square one, doesn't it? My expectations, I don't know what starting lineups we are going to see tonight. So I'm not really worried about the starting lineups tonight. I will just give you my adapted and alternate opening day starting five. That is going to be De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Nemanja Bjelica, Marvin Bagley, and Willie Cauley-Stein. That is the starting five that I think the Kings are going to roll out there on opening night. Again, I hope Zach Randolph is not a part of it, although Zach Randolph has already actively been showing the class athlete that he is, the class veteran that he is, recognizing how his role has changed. Same with Kosta Kufos. Both those guys recognize how their role has changed and how they are there really to mentor and help the young guys move along and develop into hopefully meeting their potential or exceeding the potential that was placed upon them. So I love Kosta Kufos, and I love Zach Randolph. I love that both of them are part of this organization. I just hope that they're not seeing the floor too much. But yeah, so some bad news, some sad news there that Bogey is going to be out for October. We'll be back in November, and things can hopefully hit the ground running right back with him. So it'll be interesting to see what the Kings decide to do at that three spot. Let me know what you think now that Bogey's out. The opening night starting five is going to be against the Utah Jazz. You can let me know on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Well, just before I left for the wedding and the honeymoon, we heard the news that Jimmy Butler has requested or really demanded a trade, and he wants out of Minnesota. I'm surprised to see that he is still a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves, as we're now going through training camp and preseason is set to begin. It'd be interesting to follow that saga and see how that changes. But the reason why I'm bringing that up again here on the Locked On Kings podcast is we heard a lot earlier on last week that the Kings could potentially be one of the teams not expected to land Jimmy Butler, but to be in the mix of a potential three or four team trade. The Kings do have the cap space to be able to take on bad contracts, as teams with bad contracts are trying to dump them in order to be able to afford to bring in Jimmy Butler, not just for this year, but potentially to re-sign him in years to come. Adrian Wojnarowski and Sam Amick were both very vocal on social media, saying that the Kings were actively trying to be a part of the discussions and were being included in the discussions as a team that is willing to take on a bad contract and take on a 2019 first-round pick, which we know the current situation with the Kings right now, that they don't own their 2019 first-rounder. The two major teams that we heard involved were the Los Angeles Clippers and the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat seeming to be the more prevalent of the two, as that picked up a lot of steam. You almost expected a Woj bomb to drop on around Tuesday, Wednesday of last week, and then it's just died down and quieted down. I'm not really going to speculate on what the Kings could get. I have no problem with them taking on a bad contract if it's for this year, and I guess next year. Here's what I will say, though. A lot of people are, in my opinion, putting too much value or placing too much value on a 2019 first round pick. And here's my reason why. I know it stings and I know it's hard and it sucks that the Kings do not have their pick currently going into a year where they're not expected to be in the top half of the league. Let's be honest, the Kings most likely are going to finish in the lottery and not get that pick when we're talking about this next summer. But look at what the Kings currently have. Look how their roster is constructed now. And then also look at the money and just pay attention to those two figures. So I'll talk about the first one first. The Kings right now have a plethora of young guys. De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovic, even though he's kind of older. I guess, actually, you know, I'll take him out. I won't even include Bogdan Bogdanovic. De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, you have Frank Mason, you have Scalabissiere, you have Harry Giles, you have Marvin Bagley, you have Justin Jackson. My point is, the majority of this roster that the Kings have already constructed consists of young players in their rookie, second, or third seasons. That's not necessarily a bad thing. However, it is impossible to develop all of that talent. It just is. I don't care how good your coaching staff is, it is absolutely impossible to develop all that talent. So, the Kings, in my opinion, still have decisions to make. A lot of this season is going to be them still figuring out who is our core, who is our backup or our reserves, and who do we have to let go. I think we've already seen pressure being put on Frank Mason, for example. Frank Mason might be one of the ones potentially let go or out the door if he doesn't have a good season and Yogi Ferrell takes that spot from him. Scalabissiere was kind of that guy last year. So was Malachi Richardson. So the reason I bring that up is that acquiring a draft pick, if the Kings were to acquire a draft pick from either the Miami Heat or the Los Angeles Clippers in a Jimmy Butler trade, most likely with the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, that is not going to be a lottery pick. Now, I could be wrong. It could not work out. We don't know. It's a coin flip. But either way, once again, you are adding more young talent to an already young core. Now, if we were talking top 5 to top 10 talent, then there's no question. Yes, you absolutely do it. No hands down. Or, I mean, you don't even think about it. But that's not the situation here. The situation is we're looking at a back end of the draft type player, and that doesn't mean they're going to be a bad player. There's been plenty of stars to come out of the back end of the first round and the early second round, so I'm not diminishing that by any means. But I'm just saying, weigh that risk and that concern with the amount of money that you're taking in. One of the names that we've been hearing a lot about of the Kings potentially taking back in this trade, let's assume that they did a three-team trade with the Miami Heat and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The name that's been floated around for the Kings to potentially take back in that three-team deal would be Gorgui Dieng, a power forward center, someone who would probably fill the spot of most likely Kosta Kupos or Zach Randolph that would go to Minnesota or to Miami in that deal, most likely Minnesota, though. Just looking at his contract situation, you would be trading for a player that still has 3 years left on his deal. Each year, more money. $15.1 million next season, $16.2 million the season after, and $17.2 million the following season in 2020-2021. So that's roughly a grand total of around just shy of $50 million. So essentially, what you would be doing is paying $50 million or around that for the next 3 years for a non-lottery draft pick to add into a young core of guys that you're already trying to develop and focus on. I get that people want some kind of consolation if the season goes wrong. And I know there is a very real and understandable fear amongst Sacramento Kings fans this year that this season could be a disaster. The plan could have failed. The summer could have backfired. Marvin Bagley could be a bust and Luka Doncic could look like a god. And the Kings end up one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the league, and they don't even get a draft pick for it. And then where are we? I get that. And it's a totally rational and understandable fear. But to look at this draft pick as a consolation prize worthy of potentially $50 million or nearly $50 million over the next 3 years, all I'm saying is pump the brakes a little bit. If the deal makes sense, if it's out there, and I'm not saying that Jang would come in and not play a part for this team because he still is a very capable big man and a very capable NBA player, a good defensive-minded player, a good rebounder. But all I'm saying is that don't be so quick to jump the gun and chomp at the first idea or the first possibility of the Kings getting a draft pick. I like them being involved. I like them trying, or that they're not just sitting idle and rolling with the punches and just waiting to see how things work. If they can manage to get a draft pick and it makes sense, they're able to move some money off the books. Let's say, for example, if the Kings were able to take in Jang's contract but move on from Zach Randolph and get a pick. To me, that's a win. To me, that makes sense. Zach Randolph's money is dead after this year, so is Kosta Kufos's, but either way, you're opening up cap space enough to where you have money to spend next summer. If the Kings were to take in Jang, they would have around $41.9 million in cap space for next summer. That deal I would do. But if you were to ask me right now, is acquiring a what's probably going to be in the low 20s draft pick next season worth $50 million over the next 3 years, I would have to tell you no. And that's based off of the fact that, one, the likelihood of that late first rounder becoming a star or becoming anything more than a menial role player is relatively low, but we've seen it before. And two, there already are so many young players on this roster that you're trying to focus on and develop right now. There's no need or desire, at least for me, to add another to the mix that doesn't have star potential. Guess what, people? Kings basketball is back tonight. Hell yeah. I've already said that about 4,000 times this episode because I'm so freaking excited. I know it's preseason. It's against the Phoenix Suns, so you get the number one versus number two pick battle. DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley again. We also got that in Vegas, so that should be fun. But it's preseason. It's meaningless, but that doesn't mean you can't take away things from this game. I'm looking at this game, and I'm looking for two things in particular. One, show me the ability to push the floor. Just show me transition offense the entire game. These guys shouldn't be tired. They're fresh. They're coming off of a good training camp, a long summer. Push the tempo. Run. I want to see it. I want to see results. It doesn't have to look good. There could be 20 turnovers. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a lot of turnovers tonight if it means the Kings are trying to push the tempo. And number two, I'm looking at matchups. I'm looking at rotations. I'm looking to try and see what players Coach Jaeger is trying to work together. I mentioned earlier, if Scalabissi, Aaron, Harry Giles are getting a lot of run together, is Marvin Bagley and Willie Cauley-Stein getting a lot of run together? Are Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles getting a lot of run together? Who's De'Aaron Fox really like playing with on the pick and roll? Is it Marvin Bagley? Do the two run together down the floor a lot? These are things that I'm going to be paying attention to, picking apart, and dissecting. And we're going to look at that about that. And as I'll play the highlights for you tomorrow, you can bet that we're going to be focusing on and talking about just those matchups and those tendencies and seeing which players played together. Don't expect big minutes for some of the veterans. I don't even expect all that too many minutes for De'Aaron Fox. Maybe a maximum of 20 to 25 tonight. I would like to see also if Buddy Hield is in the starting lineup. I expect him to be and how much he's been able to create his own shot. Winning doesn't matter. A win, a loss, it doesn't matter. Just show me what I need to see tonight, and that is pushing the tempo, playing pretty much fast from the get-go, and show me some matchups and some rotations. Let me get a glimpse into the mind of Dave Jaeger and what he's been trying to work on and what he has been trying to figure out here over this training camp period and over this ridiculous up and down roller coaster of a summer. I know Luka Doncic played his first preseason game, and so many Kings fans reacted to that on social media. Had 16 points against the Beijing Ducks, the tenacious and scary Beijing Ducks. Yeah, the Kings. Every team plays some of these foreign teams, and I think it's great. I think it's awesome. But again, it's preseason; doesn't mean anything. But congratulations to Luka for having a good debut. I know he made a lot of Dallas Mavericks fans happy. Made a lot of sad Kings fans and very upset Atlanta Hawks fans. Remember, they're the ones that drafted Luka and then traded him away. So it stings maybe just as bad, if not worse, to them as it does here in Sacramento. But I'm excited to see how Marvin Bagley plays tonight. I would like to see if De'Aaron Fox, if that one game where he looked amazing in summer league against the Lakers, was that just a fluke, or is he really ready to consistently take over and be the leader of this team, like Coach Yeager and all his teammates are pushing him and plugging him to be? So we're going to break down. I'll have highlights for you and everything tomorrow. We're going to dive into this game in detail. I'll also keep close tabs on what's going on in this Jimmy Butler trade market, if the Kings are still involved. Hopefully things pick back up again because the Wolves have some figuring out to do. It's going to be a fun time, man. Let's get back to this weekly or daily, excuse me, podcast every single weekday. I look forward to having you back for that. As we get geared up and ready for opening night and the start of the regular season, help me out by telling your friends. If you know Kings fans that don't listen to this podcast, get them here. Because it is a community. This is a foundation of conversation. It's not just you listening to me. It is for all of us. So get ready to make your voice heard. You can tweet me at MattGeorgeKHDK. And you can email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Share with me your starting lineups that you expect for tonight, your starting lineups that you expect for opening night now that Bogey is out, and just your expectations or your general excitement level for the start of this season that's quickly approaching. Opening night is over the horizon, man. I'm so excited for it. You can count on phenomenal and fantastic coverage right here on Locked On Kings all season long, now beginning every single weekday. So have yourself a good night tonight. Enjoy the game. You can chat with me on Twitter during it. Again, at MattGeorgeKHDK if you want to reach me. And we'll break it all down and talk about it tomorrow. But until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. It is great to be back and great to have Kings basketball back. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.